We're going to, our key scripture this morning is going to be found in Luke chapter 1. And the title is, Say Yes to Jesus. Now, right away, for some of you, when you see the title come up, you might think of a program on television, Say Yes to the Dress. How many people are familiar with that program? Well, unfortunately, I am familiar with it. Now, I'll tell you why I'm familiar with it. It's because my wife loves Say Yes to the Dress. And it made it even worse because last year was our 30th wedding anniversary. So she was, you know, and so we celebrated that. And so we renewed our vows. So she was looking for a dress. So all of that kind of added to her looking at this program. And so as we begin to look at the scriptures today, I'm going to weave in Say Yes to the Dress to saying yes to Jesus. And I'll give you a little seed of thought right now. One of the things for those of you that watch the program, often a young lady will come in and she'll have a picture, you know, some model with this fancy dress on. And here she hands it to the people and says, this is what I want to look like. Now, I'll be quite honest with you. I'm no fashion designer. But I often look at the picture they have and I look at the girl and say, I'm not so sure that's going to work. But, you know, they don't say that, do they? They go and they try to find the right dress and the girl realizes this, it's not going to work, right? And then in the end, the girl usually says yes to a dress and she's thrilled with it. But have you ever noticed that the dress is usually different than the one she thought she was going to get? Well, that's the seed of thought that I want for you today, that often when we go to the Lord and we say, hey, I've got something I want to do, maybe the Lord kind of looks at it as well and says, I'm not sure that's going to work for you. I may have something better for you. But you'll notice there's a process in saying yes to the dress. You know, there's a whole process involved for that young person or that lady to get to that point of seeing it for what it really is. Sometimes they have to kind of wear it and say, this isn't going to work, you know, and come to a point of realization. Well, for you and I, it's the same. You know, if God could just come back and say, look, no, that's not going to work. Do this. It would be quite simple, wouldn't it? But there's a process where we have to kind of work it through on the inside to realize, okay, God has a better plan. Just like that song said, He's the King of the world. Amen. When did we put Him in a small box? To make Him really big in our lives and submit to His leadership and authority. And in doing so, reap the benefits and the blessings of it. So I want to talk to you today about a young lady whose world was turned upside down by saying yes to Jesus. And her name is Mary. So as you go to the Bible, if you'll go to Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when Mary saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And so here we have this, you know, it's just a couple of verses long, but it's world-changing, isn't it? You have this angel sent by God, shows up to this backwater town, Nazareth, to a young lady in a house by herself to speak to her. Now, just that in itself is amazing. Because picture, you know, we got natural or artificial lighting here. Now picture this. This young lady, she's got maybe a little coal oil lamp going, right? And this angel shows up. And can you imagine the light and the brilliance of the presence of the angel coming into that room? And you know, the King James and New King James kind of nullify in a sense. It says that she was troubled. You know, you get the idea like, what is it? But can I tell you that in the original Greek, when you look up that word, this girl freaked out. She's like screaming. Okay, she's like, what is it? You know, she's ready to head out the back door because of what's going on. So much so that the angel says, look, chill out. I'm paraphrasing, all right? But chill out. It's all okay. You found favor with God. No one's going to die here. It's all good. And so the point is, Mary, was she ready for this? Was this something she was expecting? Now, for us today as believers, we should expect God to speak to us. Now, some of you sitting here might say, well, I don't know about that. Can I tell you, you should expect God to speak to you. And in fact, if you're not expecting Him, He may not speak to you. You should have an attitude of expecting to hear from Him. Why? When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit now dwells in you. That's a promise from the Scriptures. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, that same Jesus on the inside is the same one that walked the earth some 2,000 years ago. And He spoke to people, didn't He? And when He was going off to heaven, He said to His disciples, He says, look, I'm going, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live in you and dwell with you, and He will be your helper. You can consult with Him, you can talk with Him, He'll talk back, and He'll help you through life. And so you and I should not feel strange if the Holy Spirit talks to us. Now, when I say that, He talks a lot of different ways, doesn't He? Talks to us through His Scriptures. Here we are today talking about the Scriptures. So you could read a Scripture and that's God speaking to you at that moment in time. It could be that still small voice inside of you. It could be a set of circumstances. You know, the list goes on and on of how God can speak. But listen, we need to have ears to hear. I believe God's speaking all of the time. But it's like a radio sitting, in fact, it's like the radio in your car. You think about it, if the radio's off, how many stations are on there? How many are available? Well, you know, if you have XM radio, we're talking thousands of stations. But even if you don't have that, hundreds of stations, right? Well, how do you hear? You have to turn it on, and then you have to tune it to a specific channel to be able to hear what's being said. Well, in a sense, for you and I, sometimes I wonder whether we leave the radio off. We're so busy and distracted doing other things that we're not paying attention to hear what God has to say. So here's what I do in the morning. When I wake up, here's what I do. I'm the same as all of you, you know. I'm like, another morning. In fact, this morning, right, 20 degrees out, you know where I wanted to stay? I wanted to stay in bed, but I had to be here with you today, all right? And so the point is, you know, by the way, God bless you for making the right decision and coming to church this morning. Amen. I pray you're blessed through it. But the point is, we have to tune God in. And so I do that in the morning. I say, Lord, I just pray this day that I have an ear to hear and a heart to comprehend what You have to say to me today. And so what am I doing? I'm inviting Him. I'm turning the radio on and kind of bringing it into the right channel to say, Lord, I'm ready to listen. Now, I'll be honest with you. At that moment, I rarely hear Him say anything at that moment. But when I make that decision that morning, sometime through the day, because the radio's on, my heart is turned on, then He speaks. Amen. So I encourage you to invite Him to do that. It shouldn't be unusual. Now, here's the problem. Mary, it was unusual. Now, here's why. During the time when Mary was alive, was still part of what's known as the 400 silent years. What that means is that God hadn't spoken or shown up or done any great miracles for 400 years. So she had heard all the stories of old, of all the Old Testament. But there was no Holy Spirit as we know Him today. He hadn't yet been given. And so for her, you got to understand, this is a whole new can of worms, so to speak. This angel shows up. This had never happened to anyone in 400 years. Now picture this. She's probably 14, 15 years old, you know, in the backwaters of Nazareth, you know, a town where nobody had any concern for. You know, the chances of God showing up to talk to her was about like negative 5,000, if you know what I'm saying. Yet she was the one chosen. Can I say this? You are chosen. The Word says you were chosen. You are a special individual. And I am convinced that God wants to speak to you and I on a regular basis. But for Mary, this was a brand new area. It terrified her. So much so the angel had to say, take it easy. Can I tell you, when you have an encounter with Jesus at times, fear can rise up. It's part of the natural way of life. But just chill out. It's all going to work out. Jesus hasn't lost anyone yet, amen? And so I just encourage you to hold on. He's got a plan. So what did this angel begin to reveal to Mary? He says in verse 31, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end. Verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I don't know a man? All right, here's what I'm going to tell you. She lost the angel after verse 31. All right, because here's what the angel says. You're going to conceive and give birth to a baby. And then the angel keeps talking. She's like, whoa, back up here. she knew enough about the birds and the bees to know that something is wrong with this scenario. Like, there's no, I've never had any relations with a man. You know, I shouldn't get pregnant. And what does the angel go on to say? Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. So here's Mary, a young lady betrothed to a man. Now that's just as good as being married. Because back there, when you made that decision, and let's say you decided, I'm not going to carry on with the marriage, you actually would receive a certificate of divorce. That's how, you know, important this commitment was. It was even before they actually performed the marriage ceremony. So it was a big deal. Now, I want you to picture Mary. Here's this young lady. She's in a house. I believe that she was praying. I really do. I believe that she was just there. Now, what do you think the kind of prayers a young person betrothed to get married would pray? Probably about her future, right? Just saying, Lord, you know, God, I pray that I'm a good wife to my husband. I pray you help him. You know, all those kinds of things, good kinds of prayers. Now, do you think in her wildest imagination she was praying, Lord, I'm a virgin and I want to have a baby? What do you think? You think that was part of her purview of thinking? Can I tell you, it was not part of her thinking at all. In fact, when the angel began to speak these things to her, do you think on the inside she's like, oh, yeah, this is awesome? I don't think so. Because didn't this create a whole mess for her? She was planning to get married, have a, you know, household, have a few kids, you know, life carry on, everything would be okay. All of a sudden now, think about this. She's pregnant. Now she knows how she got pregnant. What about the rest of the world? What about her neighbors, her family, the community? What do you think the talk would be around the well and the stream where people are washing clothes? How do you think that's going? And as she walks up and everybody's got their, you know, their finger pointing and whispering to one another. Can I tell you, it was a mess for Mary. Can I tell you that when you and I take on God's will and say yes to Jesus, that it can get messy sometimes. I remember the day of my salvation. My parents were religious people. They went to church. They had a relationship with God. And so as a result of that, they brought me to church every week. But it wasn't until I was 18 years old that I had an encounter with the risen Lord. I said yes to Jesus. And at that moment in time, Jesus became alive to me. So I became a nut for Jesus. Any other nuts here? You were a nut for Jesus. There we go. We got a few. You know, some of us become what I call slow burners. In other words, the idea is you make a decision and it's all cool and you can carry on. But I was crazy. I was radical for Jesus. All of a sudden, the Bible was real to me. That book that I've been reading for years, all of a sudden, like, this is Jesus speaking to me. And I just went nuts. I remember my mom one day, you know, she was in the laundry room actually. And she said, you know, Carl, you know, I'm really glad that, you know, Jesus is really real to you. But, you know, maybe you should like calm down a little bit. And I remember my response, but he's real, you know. And she just shook her head, you know, backs away from me. And there was nothing that she could do because he had been so real to me. And so here's the thing. He was real to me, but no one around me could understand what had happened on the inside of me. And in fact, Joseph, and we're not going to be reading this today, but you've all read this account enough. What was Joseph planning to do when he heard about this story? Let me paraphrase what I think he thought. This chick's crazy. That's what he thought. This girl is off her rocker. You see, there was a Roman presence. You know, Israel was an occupied country at that point, all right? There was a Roman garrison that was stationed there. Now listen, if you look up history and even look up right now, when there's foreign soldiers in a land, what happens to the people that are there? They get abused. Things happen, all right? And so what did Joe think? He's like, oh, man, I don't know, maybe she's some kind of cover up here. Maybe something happened and she's baked up this crazy story. And man, I like her, but she's crazy, you know? And so what was he going to do? Privily divorce her. Quietly just put her aside, trying to be nice about it. And what was the only reason he didn't divorce her? God had to show up to him in a dream and say, look, she's not a nut job. She's okay. This is true. It's all true. And so only then did he carry on and continue to marry her. But what about the rest of the town? What about Mary's parents? What about Joseph's parents? What about everybody else? Can you imagine? I wouldn't want to be in that situation. And yet here's Mary doing the right thing by saying yes. But now her world is turned upside down as a result of it. But if we were to interview Mary right now, if we could have her stand here and we'd say, Mary, you know, we read about all these things that happened. Would you change it? Would you say no? What do you think she'd say? She's like, I wouldn't change a thing. Listen to her own words in verse 38. Then Mary said, so this is after the angel says everything. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. You see, when God showed up, he didn't say, Mary, this is the way it's going to be. No, that's not how it works when God speaks into your life. He has never taken your free will away. Never, ever, and never will he. So he basically came and presented to Mary through the angel his plan, the best plan for Mary's life. And Mary had to choose, didn't she? What if Mary had said no? Maybe we'd have the Virgin Susan or the Virgin Amanda. You understand what I'm saying? Here's what I mean by this. God's plan will always be done. Whether we're going to be a part of it or not, that's the question. Mary chose to say yes, and therefore, here we are still reading about her 2,000 years later. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? She does two things. First of all, she says this, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Here's what she's saying, just the same as that song that we sang. You're the king, and I'm your servant. So positionally, she was acknowledging that whatever the Lord has for her is better than whatever her prayers were and whatever her ambitions were. But then second of all, I call this the trigger words. Let it be to me according to your word. So what is she doing? She's first acknowledging who God is, and then she's saying, whatever you want to do in my life. Now there's other people who have said that in the Bible. Didn't Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane say similar words? Just before he was going to be taken away to be crucified, he said, Lord, take this cup from me. He says, I don't want to do this. But then what did he say? Not my will, but your will be done. And then he goes and he gives his life for us. And if you ask Jesus, was it worth it? He'd point to each and every one of you and to me and say, it was worth it because of you. And we need to come to a place of saying yes to Jesus. Now, will it be uncomfortable? Will it cause some dissensions, some problems? Yeah. But if you do what God calls you to do, you will eventually hold the promise that he's promised you. Now, what I want to do is give you three things that we can learn from Mary. Here's the first one. Mary was willing to say yes to what the Lord had for her, which was far different than what she was seeking. This is an issue that you and I face. When I go to the Lord, and in fact, I believe most of us do, we've got a plan. In other words, we're praying maybe for a family member or a financial need. And how do we go? We say, Lord, this is how I see the problem and this is how I'd like you to fix it. Come on. Now, we may not quite say it that way, but really that's kind of what's going on. And so what we have to do, I believe, is okay to go to God with a plan. In fact, the word says this in Psalm, commit your plans unto the Lord that your thoughts might be established. But that word commit means to bring them to him so he can sort through them and then give back to you what's really good. And so when we go to God, you can't go with an ironclad plan. You can't go to God saying, this is what I want and I expect you to do it. How many people know that's probably not a good idea? Because probably here's what the Lord will say. Well, I'll wait till you're ready to talk. Because, you know, he'll just wait. He's got all the time in the world, but I got news for you. You and I don't. And so it's better to go to him saying, look, this is what I think should be done. This is kind of how I see it. But Lord, here's my plan. What do you think? And to let him give back to you his plan, his announcement, his way of doing things. Why? Because all of a sudden you're not on your own. You've got the one who made the plan that doesn't know it. You know, he sticks with you through it all. How many people have made plans and done it on their own? And how many people have realized that that's very difficult? It's like walking uphill and never going downhill. You ever been on one of those kind of walks that you're like, how come that keeps going up and up and up and it never goes down? Well, in a sense, that's how it is when you're doing it on your own. It's just hard. But what about when you give it to the Lord and He directs you? Doesn't it get easier then? And that's how it's supposed to be. Easier on the inside. Now, when I say that, there still could be issues, trials and tribulations externally. But on the inside, you know it's God because He's carrying you through that difficulty. And so Mary understood that. And so she was willing in her prayer time to say, Lord, this is what I wanted. I wanted a nice quiet life, you know, with my husband and have a few kids. Now you want me to give birth to the Savior of the world? There are things that God would like to see birthed in you that are beyond your wildest imagination. Are you willing to say yes? Let's look at number two. When Mary said yes to the Lord, there were many trials and tribulations that resulted from the right decision. Now again, this may go against some of your doctrine and some of the ways you think and your theology. In that, you know, there's teaching out there that says, well, look, if you do what God tells you to do, your life will be perfect. It's like a yellow brick road. You know, everything's just wonderful. You know, just do what God says and He'll send angels to guard over you and He'll just bump everything out of the way and you can just keep on. Can I tell you, that's not what my Bible says. Bible says you will have trials. You will have tribulation. But here's what He promises. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So you really have your choice in life. Even as a believer, you can go it yourself and have trials and tribulations, but be on your own. Or you can go with Jesus and have trials and tribulations, knowing that He'll be with you the beginning to the end of it. Which one's better? I'll go God's way any day. Amen. I've done the other road. How many people have done the other road? Most of you have, amen? And you realize that's a dead end. That's just pain and anguish. Nothing good comes out of it. But when we go His way, it always works out in the end if you're willing to endure some hardships through the process. You know what I've learned about life is that through the hardships, you're changed the most. You know, when everything's going right, God, I don't need to change anything. But when difficulties come, it causes you to do a self-assessment, kind of to look at yourself and say, Lord, is there things that I need to change? And I believe that's part of the toughening of God to develop character in us. So when you see a problem in life, let me tell you how I look at a problem. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to overcome, to bring honor and glory to Him. Amen? And so that's the second point of Mary. You know, Mary, in saying the right things, difficulties will come. When you and I do the right thing, when we say yes to Jesus, difficulties will come. Okay, the third thing. When Mary said yes to the Lord, it was around 9 months later before she saw the promise. In other words, we want instant gratification, right? God says something, okay, where is it already? You know what I'm saying? But that's not how God works. He makes His announcement. He makes His promise to us. And then there's a process of time before we receive the promise. Amen? And so we have to learn to be patient and to hold on to what God has said. If God has promised it and you do your part, you can be rest assured it will happen in your life. Amen? It's a guaranteed thing. I want to leave you with a scripture, and it's really speaking to me in a different way. I use this scripture a lot. It's 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. And you've heard us use this scripture. It says this, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. We talk about this scripture an awful lot, and it means a lot to me. It talks, you know, as I've ministered on this, I talk about, okay, this means then that, you know, you take the promises of God, they're contained within the Word, and they're yes and amen because of what Jesus has done for us. Is that true? Yeah, I would say that that's true. But I want to show you something, maybe a nuance of this scripture that's a little bit different in light of what I've learned through the life of Mary. First of all, let me define what the word promise is in the original Greek. It means something a little different than a promise, okay? So it's apagalia is the word in Greek for anybody that cares, all right? But here's what it means. It means announcement or message. So let's use the word announcement because that's the first key word that came up. So for all the announcements of God in Christ are yes and in Christ, amen. Well, the word amen means may it be done. And the word yes means yes, all right? So it says announcement. Now hold it. Announcement. That's not meaning just the written word then. we said some announcements this morning. So that was live announcements, right? Here's what I believe this scripture is meaning in a little deeper sense. That it's not just talking about the promises that are contained. There's thousands of promises in God's Word. Now here's the danger for you and I. We can take a promise from in here and we can apply it to a situation that it was never intended to. You could do that all day long. I could take a promise, say, hey, there, it's what it says in the Bible. And take it and kind of shoehorn it into a situation. But if we look at the promises of God as being an announcement, all of a sudden that's personal. That's meaning that as the Holy Spirit reveals to you, now He could reveal a promise from the Word, or He could speak to your heart and say, this is what I'm announcing to you. Just like Mary received a live announcement from God, saying, this is what I'd like to see happen in your life. You see, when we begin to see the Scripture that way, God now announces to you by His Holy Spirit, this is what I want to do. And it says that all His promises are what? Yes and amen in Christ. Now here's why. You have access to God because of the blood of Jesus. You are His child, not based upon what you've done, but what He's done for you. Isn't that a good thing to know? So when you come to church, it's not like, okay, am I going to tithe enough? Will God accept that? Do I look good enough? Will God accept that? It's none of that at all. You walk in because of what He's done for you. And that's just so important. And that's what this is saying. He's saying, look it, you're accepted in the beloved. And so as you come in, I've got things I'd like to talk to you about. And as you tune in, I've got announcements for you. I've got things that are personally tailor fit for you that as you do them, now here's the fruit of it. Here's what it says at the end of that scripture. To the glory of God through us. You see, as you and I do our part, what happens is God is glorified by it. Think of Mary. She says yes to Jesus. She gives birth to Jesus. And she, remember, you got the whole Bethlehem scene, you know, she's there. You got the wise men show up. You got the shepherds show up. And all this. And who's glorified by that? God is. But she was a vessel that God worked through to bring glory to Himself. See, as you and I say yes to Jesus, it's not just about saying yes. It's so that God's glory, that His manifest presence can go through us. I think of the story that we just heard with the Bonheurs explaining about the TSA agent accepting Jesus. All they did was let the glory of God work through them. And here's the promise they clung to. That God desires what? All men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So they meet this nice guy at the airport in Haiti. They invite him, all right, the guy's working there, they invite him, hey, come on, if you ever come to the U.S., come and visit us. The guy actually takes him up on it. Now think about this. Isn't that stepping out on a limb a little bit? Do they really know this guy? It's like, you get what I'm saying? But yet by faith, because they believe they heard from God, take the step, they invite him, and what happens as a result of it? A new salvation. A party in heaven, because the Bible says that the angels celebrate when one person accepts Christ. See, that's what we're talking about, folks. Saying yes when it might be uncomfortable. Saying yes when it might be a little strange. Saying yes that other people might not understand. But you know it's God saying it. So the choice is you. Just like when they say at the end of the show, are you going to say yes to the dress? You have to choose to say yes to Jesus. And the choice is absolutely yours. Amen? So what do I suggest you should choose? Say yes. Amen. Let's stand and pray together. Lord, I thank you that when you ask us to say yes, it's often way beyond our ability to believe. And I believe you do that so that we'll reach out that little farther to you. In other words, you don't want us to remain the same. Your desire is for us to grow in you. So when you ask us to say yes, we have to stretch just that little bit. And in fact, Mary's confession in Luke 1 was, may it be done according to your word. She was basically saying, look at Lord, I can't believe this, but your will be done. And so, Lord, I pray that as you've been speaking and will be speaking to individuals here over the weeks and months to come, that, Lord God, that when they say yes, they realize they can't do it themselves. That only by the power of your Holy Spirit can they attain to the promise. But Lord, I pray they say yes. Because in saying yes, you are glorified through them. And so, Lord, I lift up every individual here, whether they've been in the Lord for a long time or a short period of time, that they would be encouraged in their faith, that they would have a sense of your presence in their lives, even when they're at the mall or driving their cars or at home, wherever they are, they have a sense that you're there with them and that you are speaking, and that we would just tune in and receive what you have for us. So I speak a blessing over your people. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.